Let's go to Luke 12. We finished 13 and 14 yesterday. Today we're at 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. What is covetousness?
Wanting more than you have is one of our sayings.
Wanting things to be different than they are.
Right. Wanting any moment you're in to be different than it is. That's the core meaning of covetous. And it's a biggie. It's a biggie for a good thing, but it's a bigger biggie for bad things. So let's go to Romans 7. Well, it's leaven.
The
leaven of Herod. Seeing lack.
Yeah.
Okay. Seeing lack produces covetousness. It's impossible to see lack on the mercy seat because you're at the first source of all things. And so all of these issues, whether it's what we've been studying, now it's covetousness, they all are dependent on this location of sphere. Where are you? So let's look. Anyway. In verse 7 of chapter 7, Romans, well, we have to go to 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. So a lust eventually produces death if you have any integrity. It's never satisfied. Let's go to Habakkuk. Anybody find a Habakkuk?
Why do you throw in if you have integrity? Isn't it?
Because most people don't. They continue to go in and drink the sour milk in our. They think to this time it's not going to be sour. But integrity says you are one person. That's what integrity means, one.
Where did we go?
Habakkuk.
Yes. Page
big help, Monty.
Zephanehu.
1, 2, 3.
I don't know yet.
Zephanehu, just before.
Oh, Ronnie, you're so proud of yourself that you found it.
Yeah.
Let's go to chapter 2. Well, we have to almost
read the whole thing.
No.
Only 20 verses.
Verse, the chapter 1 is about how God is using foreigners or weird things or apostates and all these things, because, but he won't use them. He's using them to perfect the bride, but he won't use, he's only using them momentarily. And that's sort of what happens if we are in a state of apostasy. He may use us, he may use what we do or what we say, but he won't use us. He uses all things equally. What?
Oh, I'm just thinking how probably most of the time we're not even aware of what he's doing with us, and the idea of God's will for my life is probably the biggest ego trip there is.
God's will for your life is your death.
Yeah.
Anything else is weird.
Well, his will is the life of Christ in you.
And then in chapter 1 it also talks about why should God use the wicked.
Did you say lust produces death? Lust results in death?
That's what that results in knowledge of sin, and that sin produces death.
So ultimately lust results in death,
which is a good thing.
Sounds like a punishment.
Well, it is. We are evil sons of bitches. We have to die because we are of the evil one.
I see my death as a voluntary thing. I enter into baptism to die because I don't want to live the way I lived anymore. I don't want that to be the case anymore. I do that of my own volition.
It's just a, when the human race died on the cross, that's what we don't understand. Let's go back to that in just a minute, okay? No, we're not. We don't want to go back. Let's go there now. Go to Galatians. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm an idiot.
First?
No.
Second?
I'm saying I'm the idiot because I went to 1 Corinthians.
All right.
That's a longer you can say.
Verse 14 of chapter 5.
Oh, first or second?
Second Corinthians. Chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Strange sentence. If one died for all, then we're all dead.
So that's like the ultimate fact.
And why did that fact happen?
Love of God.
Because the human race was not worthy to enter the kingdom of God in any way, except when they saw the mystery of Christ. They saw Messiah in the sacrifices. They saw him in nature. They saw whatever. But that's ever and always seeing him produces his life and your death. Well, it produces seeing that you're dead. I mean, that you don't have an option. You died. The human race died. Why? Because...
died or had an opportunity to die?
Died. Now it's just the evil one masquerading as humans.
So we didn't voluntarily.
Oh, you voluntarily do it. Do it when you're sick of everything else. But it's only voluntary, you know, in a strange way. It's like, I agree to fall out of a tree because gravity is there. Go to Romans 6.
What? Are we talking about the Antichrist here, voluntary?
What?
Are we talking about the Antichrist volunteering his death? Or volunteering to agree?
He's masquerading as you.
So who repents?
Who repents?
The
human mind. The mind, which is the Antichrist. Because he comes to the end of itself and sees nothing. That's the one capacity the mind has that pleases God. Singular. But that can't happen until you see the emptiness of everything else, including your own life.
With my, like somewhere in Romans, with my mind I serve the law.
Yeah, it's Romans 7. All right, in where did I say go?
Romans 6.
That's right. I would have remembered all by my lonesome. Start in chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reign, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in, that likeness isn't in there, in the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I mean, dead. Colossians says, you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Galatians says, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We could go on and on and on.
Next verse.
No, if we'd be dead with Christ.
Right. If we'd be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live by him or by means of him. That with is like we're buddies or something, but it means by means of him.
Yes.
Is that any clearer, Mr. Bojo?
No.
What's not clear?
Complicated.
Well, that's all right. Complicated is good.
I'm not afraid of complicated. Just not easily. I just can't give you two sentences.
All right.
Well, it's almost like trying to understand death is trying to understand eternity. We don't have the mind that can comprehend those.
I'm perfectly content with my death. I understand that. I have a conception of it that I accept. I believe it. I know that. I see death as a result of my willingness to be baptized. I want to be baptized because I'm tired. I'm beaten. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Everything I thought I wanted, I got, turned out to be totally superfluous to my contentment, to my happiness, and worthless. Okay? My acceptance of my baptism means I don't want to do that anymore. Okay, I'm there. I'm there. So I'm baptized. So I am, well, here we go with Oli. I want to say I'm transformed. Oli wants to say I'm transfigured. I think the difference is...
You're not transfigured by baptism. You're transfigured by the renewing of your mind.
It's the same concept. I want to be transformed. I want to change. There's a new me. All those kinds of cliches kind of things, you know. There's a new me. I'm there with that. But when Oli said this morning that lust results in death, that kind of resounds in me like that's a punishment. That's you know, if you do that, you're going to die. Well, I don't. That's I don't want to go there. My death is my choice. My death is happiness. My death is peace and joy. I'm a new person. I revel in that new thing. I don't want to be punished by my death by doing something wrong. Obviously, lust is wrong. Come on, that doesn't. If you have any, excuse me, awareness, you know, you're going to say, that's where I'm headed, that's not good, and I don't want to do that anymore. So you don't.
Well, I mean, that's wonderful. The we're saying the same thing, except all you're saying by your way of explaining it is you agreed with the mystery.
Well, maybe that's the case then. I hope it is.
Yeah. No, I do too. I mean, that's really what you're saying. You're just using the word I made a choice to. But that's, it's much deeper than that. You've come to a point where I agree with the mystery of the Father.
When you lust, is that a form of spiritual death or fleshly death?
No, lust, you don't. Lust isn't death. It eventually produces your awareness. I mean, it produces death. All right, let's go to Habakkuk. Back to Habakkuk. Now you're not. Now Jerome's not going to be able to find Habakkuk.
How come I'm not? I'm looking right
in. You didn't go to Romans.
Yes, I did.
You kept your finger in it.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
He cheated early October.
Okay, God's use of the foreigners. Then why should God use the wicked? And now the next chapter 2 is about the just shall live by his faith. Not his meaning the just one, but his meaning Messiah. The just shall live by Messiah's faith. But anyway, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And this was written 620 BC. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yes, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home. Who enlargeth this desire is hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increases that which is not his? How long unto him that ladeth himself with thick clay? We could go on and on. The whole chapter is about the just shall live by faith, and that lust cannot be satisfied. An old friend, John, gave me an article that appeared in D Magazine about him. He was worth billions. And he was invited to go somewhere, like the White House or something. And he didn't go. And the writer asked, why didn't he go? It was to receive some honor, I think. And he said, I've been there, done that. It doesn't have any appeal to me any longer. Well, it took him to from going from zero to get several billion dollars for him to find it, but he found it. I don't want to do that anymore. And that's all that John's been saying. That's what I've been saying for 40 years. I don't want to do that anymore. And that's the big mystery of his faith. We've tried our faith. I don't want to do that anymore. My faith is, hopefully my faith is his faith now, but that's tested every day. All right, let's go back to covetousness. So that's the predicate. It can never be satisfied. And it eventually produces an awareness that it can never be satisfied. But because it is sin, therefore it will produce death. The awareness of all of death, I should say.
Awareness of what? Awareness of death.
Awareness of that you're dead already. All right. Let's go to... Well, there's so many to go to's here. Let's see where it's called idolatry. Go to Colossians 3. Well, let's start in 2. No, that's fine. Let's start in chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness Covetous is the proof to yourself that you haven't entered the rest. Understand?
Yeah.
It's the Father's good pleasure to give us all things that are necessary. But it's his good pleasure if we do that, if we enter the rest. His good pleasure is that he fulfills the desire of our heart. I've told you many times that this place in my life for the last 40 years is my worst nightmare from a mind, but it fulfills every desire of my heart. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. There's nothing I'd rather be doing. That's for me, that's mind-bending. That this, that my mind would just run from, fulfills every desire of my heart. That's strange, but it's true. Amen? So, all I'm asking you to do as we study, as we get more and more into this, of the understanding of the fullness of covetousness, is that you don't worry about you should do it or shouldn't do it. If you see that it's wrong, if you see that that it can never be satisfied, it's like the more you covet, the bigger your container is that you need to be satisfied. So pretty soon, you know, you could have the whole world and you wouldn't be satisfied. So if you've learned that lesson, then repentance is the only answer if there is covetousness. And we'll see that more completely. But it's the same as every other thing. Repentance is the final answer. But not some feigned repentance. Oh, I did wrong. It's repentance not to be repented of. Amen? All right, take a big guy.